Supper half-consumed hot chocolate and takes a sip while she unmutes the TV. I glance at the screen. What is this? Teen baby daddy, I told you I was watching bad reality TV. Wow. So this is really a show? I can change it. She reaches for the remote, her cheeks flushing. I cover her hand with mine. No, don't do that. It's fine. Sometimes I like to watch reality TV because it reminds me how easy my life is in comparison. But we can do something else if you want. She sets her hot chocolate on the side table and shifts closer. She looks shy and uncertain as she leans in, brushing her lips over the edge of my jaw. Thank you for the flowers and the chocolate. That was a nice surprise. I have to fight with my body, not to turn my head, slip my fingers in her hair, and taste her mouth. I imagine she's sweet like chocolate right now. I remind myself that I have another purpose for being here that isn't supposed to be about sex. If it's offered, I don't want to say no, though, especially since I'm going to be away for a few days, and all I'll have is my hand to keep me company. I wanted to make sure you were okay after last night and your afternoon with the girls. She sits back, putting distance between us again. I don't like it. Maybe I should have sat in the middle of the couch. Then she'd have to sit next to me. Oh, right, of course. Do you want to know what I told them? Only if you want to tell me. I pick up the nail polish sitting on the coffee table and tap the end of her single painted toe. Don't you usually go to the spa for this? I was going to make an appointment for when you're away. Would you like me to make one for you? I shift and set her foot in my lap. I could arrange to have Violet join you. You don't have to go to the trouble. It's no trouble. You could have a whole day at the spa if you'd like. I run my thumb along her instep. In the meantime, I could paint these for you while you get your TV fix. I wiggle her big toe. Just as long as this isn't the beginning of a foot fetish, have at it, she says. I think you know all of my fetishes by now. I start to unscrew the cap, but Charlene stops me.
You have to shake it first.
Like real paint.
Exactly.
Charlene's feet are delicate, much like the rest of her. I definitely don't have a foot fetish, but I can appreciate that even her feet are pretty. While Charlene indulges in brain candy, I focus on the task of painting her toenails. It isn't exactly easy. I have to use a Q-tip, dipped in polish remover a couple of times when I mess up, since Charlene's toes are small and my hands are not.
I think Miller has a foot fetish, Charlene says as I finish the first coat.
She's informed me already that they'll require two, which is fine with me. I'm touching her, and I'd like to continue doing so in a way that doesn't make it seem like I'm here just for sex.
How do you know that?
Charlene arches an eyebrow.
Sonny mentioned that he likes to paint her toenails.
I'm painting your toenails, and I don't have a foot fetish.
She also told us he likes to kiss her toes, and her face went completely red when she said that, so I have a feeling he might like to do more than that.
You girls certainly like to share. Her eyes stay fixed on her mug.
I keep it pretty vague. Violet always draws her own conclusions.
I wonder how much harm I've done her in asking to maintain such a high level of privacy. In doing so, I'm responsible in part for creating some of the distance in this relationship. My own secrets don't make it any better.
And that's how you managed today? I ask.
No one made a big deal out of it, except Violet and her Area 51 fears, but those are kind of justified, so...
Area 51?
Alex used the same term earlier. I have no idea what aliens have to do with sex.
Anal invasion.
My smile is automatic and likely lecherous.
Ah, Violet is opposed then?
She's a little wary of Alex's size.
I've played hockey with Alex for years. There's a lot of time spent in the locker room showering and getting changed when you're on an NHL team. You get used to seeing a lot more of people than you would in most professions.
Charlene must read my confusion.
He's a grower, not a shower.
My eyebrows try to climb into my hair.
And you know this how?
I accidentally got a peek in Vegas when we had to pry Violet away from Alex for the wedding. You would not be granted access if you were packing a canid like that.
I'm not sure if I should be offended or not. I'm above average. I know this because I've read the articles and taken the necessary measurements.
Trust me, I'm very aware of how above average you are, but Alex is scary huge.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I accepted a long time ago that Alex is the better player on the ice, but I always thought I had a leg up, proverbially speaking, in this department. As a competitive person, I'm displeased to find out he's winning in that area, too. So far, he's more accomplished in relationships, cock size, and who the fuck knows what else.
How are the guys today? I'm sure they had all kinds of things to say.
Charlene bites her lip and dips a finger in her hot chocolate before slipping it in her mouth. I'm not sure if it's meant to be intentionally sexual or not. I choose to pretend it didn't happen, rather than offer her something significantly larger to dip in there.
Randy wanted to know who wore the ball gag.
Charlene's eyes widen.
What did you say?
Why does it matter?
I don't know, just curious, I suppose.
I told them no one wears it.
That's it?
And that you don't like the way it tastes. She traces the edge of the donut on her knee.
I could try it again, if you want.
Would I like to see Charlene wearing a ball gag? I mean, I wouldn't be opposed. But is it something I need? Absolutely not.
I don't ever want you to do anything you don't 100% enjoy. My concern today is that you weren't overwhelmed by questions or a sense of responsibility or ownership for what happened. I don't want you to feel as though you have to tell me anything you talked to the girls about today, but I hope that if there's something that isn't working between us, you would come to me so I could try to fix it. She tips her head to the side, eyes locked on mine.
I like how we are together, and I like that you're here now.
As do I.
She takes another sip of her drink, licking away the marshmallow foam that sticks to her lip. She manages to leave a little behind.
You miss some. I rub my thumb over the spot.
I'm not disappointed when Charlene's fingers wrap around my wrist and her lips close over my thumb, swirling slowly, eyes locked on mine. These kinds of real conversations aren't always easy with Charlene because we're both so guarded, but we can communicate incredibly well in other ways. When she releases my thumb, I replace it with my lips. I didn't kiss Charlene last night, except for maybe once or twice, which drives her crazy. Charlene loves making out. She would kiss until her lips are raw if I let her. Sometimes I deny her, so the next time we're together, I can capitalize on how much she seems to love the simple act of kissing. I stroke inside her mouth on a leisurely sweep. Charlene moans, low and sweet, fingertips dragging softly down my cheek as she opens wider, inviting me deeper, which is the exact moment I disengage and retreat to the other side of the couch.
Your toes should be dry now. I can put on a second coat.
She's still clutching her mug in one hand. Her eyes dart down and she exhales a shaky breath. I take my time with the nail polish, making sure each toe is perfect before moving on to the next. I know Charlene is still trying to figure out what's going on here. My being here, unannounced, bringing her flowers and chocolate, painting her toenails for fuck's sake. I've never done any of this before. Not in 2 years. And I'm starting to see very clearly how that needs to change. Because tonight I've realized something very important. Up until now, I've only seen the side of Charlene that she thinks I want. And while I adore that she likes to try new things and experiment with sex positions and ridiculous toys, I think I might enjoy this just as much. Once I'm done, I clean up the discarded Q-tips and tissues and take them all to the kitchen. I toss everything in the garbage and wash my hands, then root around in Charlene's cupboards for a snack. She has an odd balance between holistic stuff and junk food. I hit the jackpot when I find a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos stuffed in the back of the cupboard. I check the fridge for beer, but Charlene isn't big on it, so I'm unsurprised to come up empty-handed. She has ginger ale and lots of milk. She also has a container of onion dip, which will go perfectly with the Doritos.
I snatch the Godiva bag from the counter and bring it with me to the living room.
Charlene's expression goes from hopeful to crestfallen.
What are you doing?
I thought you might want a snack.
Doritos and onion dip?
Why did you even come here if you're going to eat that?
Charlene seems annoyed, angry even.
Would you like me to find something else? She throws her hands up in the air.
Yes, you ruin making out when you have Dorito breath.
I didn't come here to make out. I came here to spend time with you. Her brows pull down.
Why can't we do both? Why does it have to be one or the other? Or do you not want me like this?
Do you need me to change? She motions to her attire, her confusion endearing and painfully understandable. I drop the snacks on the coffee table and sit down beside her. I always want you, Charlene.
So why the Doritos? I don't get it. You come here with gifts, paint my toenails, tease me with that kiss, and then pull out gross breath snacks like it all makes some kind of sense. What the hell?
She's definitely angry, which seems to defeat the entire purpose of me showing her I want more than sex.
You know that I care about you, don't you?
She purses her lips, eyes roaming over my face, as if she'll find some kind of explanation there.
Yes, I know that.
How?
What?
How do you know? I ask, because I want to understand what I do to make her see that, since I honestly don't know.
You take care of my needs before your own. You understand when I take things farther than I mean to, and you always know where my limit is. You'll let me try new things even if it's not always something you're keen on. And you bring me flowers and chocolate because you think that's what I need based on someone else's idea of what constitutes normal. That's how I know.
It doesn't escape me that most of these references apply to our sex life, except for the last part, which only serves to reinforce how change is necessary, but it may need to be a bit more gradual. I have until the end of June, which should give me lots of time to make Charlene see that we're supposed to be more. That way, if I'm traded at the end of the season, asking her to come with me won't be something she'll balk at. Broaching that subject now doesn't make sense, not when flowers and chocolate cause this kind of reaction.
Darren, did I say something wrong?
I realize I've been staring at her, saying nothing in response. I smile in what I hope is reassurance.
No, Firefly, you didn't say anything wrong.
She skims my knuckles and scoots a little closer.
This morning you threatened to kiss me for hours the next time we were together.
I did say that, didn't I? I drag a single finger along the column of her throat. Would you like me to make good on that now?
Mm-hmm. I would like that very much.
I shift until I'm in the center of the couch and move Charlene to straddle me. I press the softest kiss to her lips, then trail my fingers along her throat. I don't go back to her mouth like she wants me to. Instead, I start at her fingertips, kissing each one, working my way over her knuckles, following the vein on the inside of her wrist all the way to her elbow. I keep going, up the inside of her arm, over her shoulder, across her collarbone, along the side of her neck, and the edge of her jaw to her chin. The entire time Charlene grinds over me, rubbing herself on my erection through the barrier of clothing. If we were naked, I'd be inside her already. For some reason, restraint is difficult to find and hold on to tonight. Maybe because everything is shifting for me, and I want it to be the same for Charlene. I'm about to continue the kiss torture, starting with the neglected fingertips of the other hand, but Charlene grabs my chin to keep me from moving away. She doesn't try to kiss me. Instead, her eyes meet mine, uncertainty flickering there.
Stay here for a minute, please.
I lean in and kiss the corner of her mouth before I brush my lips over hers. I curve my finger around the shell of her ear and ease my thumb along her throat until I reach the soft spot under her chin. Her pulse hammers there, hard and steady with untended need. I angle her head slightly and tip my own in the opposite direction. Breathing in the warmth of her shaky exhale, I taste chocolate and marshmallow before our mouths are even connected.
I press my lips to hers, reveling in the softness before I stroke along the seam. She tastes sweet, as she always does, and that little buzz of lightning always follows, much like the shock of light that appears in the sky when a firefly makes its presence known. I don't stay for a minute. I linger at her lips, sweeping inside her mouth over and over, slow and languorous, as if there is no other place to be, and we're speaking through kisses that never end. I have no idea how long we make out for, but Charlene's lips are swollen and her chin is red from stubble burn by the time I disengage.
Should we go upstairs?
Do you want me to change now? She asks on a breathless whisper. I skim her bottom lip with a fingertip and shake my head. I want to stay right here. I brush her nipple through her tank. But I'd like to see more of you, if that would be all right. She nods.
Please.
I find the hem and tug it up, exposing first her decorated navel, then the gentle curve of her belly to the swell of her breasts. I sigh when I reach her nipples. I had the barbells custom made for her. They boast the Chicago logo and my number on the little balls that hold them in place. She had them pierced a few months after we started dating. Avoiding them during the healing time had been a torture worth enduring for both of us. Charlene lifts her arms, and I pull the tank over her head. You're so beautiful. I meet her heavy, needy gaze. There's something else there, not the anxiety and anticipation that comes with wondering what's next, but a different kind of wanting. A small smile curves her pouty lips.
So are you.
I think only to you, I mutter, then dip down to pepper kisses along her jaw and neck, and then lower until I reach the swell of her breast. I capture her nipple between my lips, tugging the barbell before I tug it between my teeth. Charlene arches and moans, that delicate sound sending a bolt of heat down my spine. The ache in my balls is damn near violent, but I'm accustomed to delayed gratification and determined to make good on this morning's promise. I lick and suck and kiss one nipple and then the other, moving back and forth between them until Charlene's fingers are fisted in my hair and she's grinding aggressively, fighting her way toward an orgasm. I wrap my hands around her waist and lift so she can't achieve friction. She whines my name. I'm pretty sure I said I was going to kiss you for hours before I let you come.
It's been long enough, don't you think?
She pleads. I glance at the clock on the wall, ticking away our evening. We've been making out for far longer than I realized. I pull her closer and kiss the space below her navel and along the waistband of her leggings. I plan to kiss every inch of her body, eventually, but I'd like to play with her a little longer. I settle her ass on my thighs again, but away from my erection, so she can't rub on me. Her expression is pained, desperate, her need for release overwhelming. I keep one hand on her hip, but slide the other palm up her stomach, between her breasts, until my fingers drift over her throat, tracing the edge of the pearls. Moving higher, I curl a finger along the shell of her ear and follow the curve of her jaw with my thumb. As soon as I release her hip, Charlene tries to slide forward. I tip my head to the side, and she stops. I follow the waistband of her leggings with a single finger.
I like these. Why don't you wear them more often? I wear them all the time,
she said breathlessly. I would like it if you wore them for me.
Okay, I can do that.
I trace the outline of a donut that ends conveniently at the apex of her thighs. She sucks in a raspy breath as I run my knuckle over the bump of steel piercing her hood. I bet I can make you come like this.
I'm sure you can.
I find the steel with my thumb and press gently. Charlene's grip on my knees tightens and she rolls her hips. I decide this is how I want her tonight, in my lap, close like this, so I can see every emotion as it crosses her perfect, expressive face. I keep circling the piercing, slow and gentle, aware that softness pushes Charlene to the edge the fastest, and that the lack of direct contact is going to make her even needier. And just as I predict, she comes, body shaking hard, nails digging into my knees through my jeans. Her elbows give out and I have to tighten my grip on the back of her neck to keep her in place as she rides out the waves of pleasure, her soft moans growing louder as the orgasm drags her under. When she's over the crest, I pull her close again. She's drunk on her orgasm, uncoordinated and fumbling as she threads her fingers through my hair and brings our mouths back together.
"Thank you," she mumbles, tongue already in my mouth.
She grabs the hem of my shirt and she pulls it roughly over my head. Her satin fingertips drift down the sides of my neck to my chest. Charlene comes back to suck on my bottom lip as she circles my nipples, but when she attempts to go lower, I stop her. At her questioning expression, I grip her by the waist and lay her out on the couch.
"I want to taste how much you need me," I explain.
I drag her leggings down and toss them to the floor, then pause when I hook my fingers in her underwear. Most of them are some combination of lace, satin, or leather. Sometimes it's all three, and occasionally there are buckles and chains and metal clasps. Those are her choice, not mine. But her panties tonight are different and nothing I've ever seen on her before. They're cotton, and that boy short style I've never been particularly fond of, until now. These are lace, trimmed at the waist, with tiny polka dots, sweet and sexy, just like Charlene.
"Do you have a lot of these?"
"A few pairs." Her cheeks flush.
"I can buy you more," I offer.
"They're not expensive. I get 5 pairs for $25. She lifts her hips, possibly encouraging me to remove them.
"We could shop for them together. Do they come in different patterns and styles?"
"They do. I can show you my other ones after."
I shimmy them over her hips and drop my head, pressing my lips to the crest of her pubic bone before I remove them and drop them on the coffee table.
I shoulder my way between her legs and make her come with my mouth. She smells like need and tastes like want. By the time I'm done, the ache in my stomach is damn near killing me. I let Charlene pop the button on my jeans and drag the zipper down. I shove my jeans and boxers over my hips and down my thighs. Charlene stands between my legs and pulls them off the rest of the way, then pushes the coffee table back and sinks to her knees between my parted thighs. My erection is pretty much pulsing. Even the air hurts at this point. The head is an angry shade of purple, usually reserved for eggplant emojis, and the tip is weeping.
"Oh, God, Darren."
Charlene runs her hands up my thighs, tongue sweeping across her bottom lip. I cover her hands with mine before she can put them on me. No hands, no mouth. Jesus. I can't even form sentences that make sense anymore. "Stand, please." She braces her palms on my knees and rises. Then she starts to turn. I grab her hips to keep her facing me, then slide my palm down the outside of her thighs until I reach the back of her knees. When I tug her forward, she has no choice but to brace her hands on my shoulders and straddle my lap. I meet her confused gaze, which is understandable. Usually sex is an elaborate event for Charlene.
"Should we go upstairs now?
I want you like this, please." In 2 years, we've never had sex like this, on her couch, the TV still droning in the background.
"Okay."
Her eyes are glassy with the same need I feel.
"I can take you now?"
I smile at her phrasing and grit out a yes. Charlene's palms rest on my shoulders, and she shifts forward, lining us up without touching me. I position my thumb at the base and angle it toward her. When her hood piercing skims the tip, I groan. Charlene's eyes dart to mine and then back down as the head nudges at her entrance.
"Slowly, please. I want to savor the feeling of you surrounding me."
She places a gentle palm on the side of my neck. Every part of me is burning with need so extreme I feel as if my nerve endings are on fire. She eases down, legs trembling as I disappear inside her. I let my head drop back against the cushions, eyes still on her, and take a moment to absorb the sensation. It's different tonight, like it's weighted with something new.
I could come right now without even moving, but that would be embarrassing as hell, so I hold her hips to keep her steady, close my eyes to block out the sight, and just breathe. Charlene's fingertips brush along the edge of my jaw, and I have to tell her to stop. I open my eyes and find hers. Everything is magnified right now. Give me a few moments.
Okay.
Recognizing how much I need her, all the versions of her, even the ones she might not want me to see, makes this experience so much more intense than usual. While I battle my response to being inside her like this, I trace the delicate lines of her body, distract myself with the way her skin dampens under my touch, and her muscles flex and tighten when I hit a sensitive spot. All of it threatens to push me over the edge, despite not having moved at all. I drop a hand between her thighs and draw tight circles, shifting under her just enough to make her come and keep myself balanced on the painful edge. As soon as the orgasm tips her into bliss, I move to the edge of the couch, wrap her legs around my waist, and pull her close until our chests meet. I rock her over me, the ache in my balls bitingly vicious as it expands, shooting down my legs and forcing its way up my spine. Oh, fuck. I press my face into her neck, sucking on the skin, nipping my way up to her mouth. I kiss her, fighting to stay gentle, but need takes over and our teeth clash. I pull back, and Charlene's nails dig into the back of my neck. Her eyes are soft, but her words are not.
You gave, now take.
I hold her hips, lift and lower, over and over, faster, harder, until I come. The whole world, a wash of white and stars, the fusion of pleasure and pain so violent, I nearly black out. Charlene runs her fingers through my hair, the rhythmic action soothing. Eventually, I lift my head from the crook of her neck.
Hi.
Her voice is hoarse. Hey.
Feel better?
I kiss her tenderly. She'll need lip balm for days after this. I make a note to do some research and have some sent to her while I'm away. You?
Better times four, I think.
I would like to spend the night, if that's all right with you. Her eyes flare with surprise, and her smile makes my chest tight.
That's all right with me.
Charlene's bed is a double, so it means we spoon most of the night. My sleep might not have been the greatest, but the night was excellent, so I consider it a fair trade. We sleep in late and have lazy morning sex. I'd like to spend the entire day with her, but apparently she has yoga with the girls this afternoon. We shower together, which turns into another round of sex, the slippery kind. Afterward, I watch her get dressed. She wears black yoga pants and a sports tank, her long auburn hair pulled into a ponytail. Like last night, her face is makeup-free. She's always stunning, but I've decided I like her best like this. I want her without the mask. I fold a hand behind my head as she slips her feet into a pair of black heels. What are your plans after yoga?
We usually go out for shakes afterwards. Would you like me to cancel?
The answer to that is yes. I would very much like her to cancel, but I'm also aware it might be pushing Charlene too much, too quickly. I don't want to interfere with your plans. We fly out early tomorrow, so it's best if I get ready this afternoon and get a good night's sleep. I don't like that the first two playoff games of the series are away, but there's nothing we can do about it other than come in prepared. I throw the covers off and swing my feet over the edge of the bed. Crooking a finger, I beckon her over. When she reaches me, I pull her between my legs and run my hands down her arms. Even with all the fabric in the way, she shivers. I'd like to speak with you tonight, if that's all right.
Speak with me about what?
A furrow creases her brow, so I smooth it out with my thumbs. To find out how your day was, to hear your voice.
Oh.
The furrow returns. Is that okay?
Of course it's okay.
Great. I take her face between my palms and kiss her until she has to push away and rush out the door for fear of being late. I flop back down on the mattress. I could upgrade it for her,
get her something better and bigger, but I don't want to make her place more comfortable. I meet up with Alex for an afternoon workout since I have nothing else to do, and then head home. As I pack a bag for tomorrow's flight, I check my messages and frown when I note the voicemail from my grandparents. My good mood is dunked in a bucket of shit when I find out my parents are supposed to be in town this week for some kind of conference. I never hear from them directly. Technically, I don't consider them my parents at all since my grandparents officially adopted me when I was 4. At least I won't be in Chicago at the same time they are, so that's a relief. I want to brush it off as meaningless, but it shines a dark light on the progress I made with Charlene last night. Because as much as I want things to change, one thing I want to keep her away from is my family, and I'm not sure I'll be able to do that forever. Which is exactly how long I want to keep Charlene.
Chapter 7 Mama Dom Charlene. Tonight the girls are coming over to watch the hockey game. I tidy up the living room, having passed out on the couch last night. I'll blame it on lack of sleep prior to Darren going away and the Hoarders marathon. The whole him showing up unannounced, flowers and chocolate thing was a shock. Not to mention the normal people sex and the all-night spooning, but I'll admit I enjoyed every minute of it and I'm not opposed to a repeat. I go about setting out all the snacks. The Doritos and onion dip are perfect since the boys are away, and make sure I have wine and sparkling juice for Sunny and Violet. The doorbell rings in the middle of setting up. It's only 5:30 and the girls aren't supposed to arrive until closer to 7, but Violet often shows up early, bestie privileges and all. I open the door, ready for the shenanigans to begin, and Violet's snide comments about pearl necklaces and anal. Except it's not my bestie. Mom? Sure. She drops her bag and throws her arms around me, enveloping me in a tight, painful hug. I pat her back, glancing over her shoulder. Laverne, the old lady next door, is busy tending her garden, or was. She's currently staring slack-jawed in our direction. It takes me a moment to realize why. My mom is dressed in her work gear. Why don't you come in? I maintain the hug while dragging her inside the house and away from the neighbor's eyes. I hope Laverne's pacemaker is working these days because she looks like she might be going into shock. I grab my mom's bag from the front porch, give Laverne a quick wave, and disappear inside. I didn't realize you were arriving today. My voice has that high-pitch quality to it, much like a prepubescent boy who's accidentally zipped up his man noodle. My mom is decked out in a black leather corset, complete with buckles and chains, hence the painfulness of the hug. The skirt is short and barely covers her butt, and she's wearing fishnets and huge-heeled boots with buckles that end mid-calf. Her makeup can only be described as goth or maybe emo. Her hair has been dyed jet black, and her lipstick is the color of a rich Cabernet Sauvignon. Oh, did I forget to tell you I was coming in today? I swore I left a voicemail for you, or maybe that was in my head. I thought it might be nicer to stay with you than at a hotel. We can catch up and have some real quality mother-daughter bonding time. Right, sure. I have a spare bedroom. How long are you going to be in town? I'm beyond relieved that Darren already left Chicago for a variety of reasons. Just 3 days, so I want to make the most of it. It's been so long since I've seen you. You look... She seems to struggle to find the right descriptive word and finally settles on... Good. Her pinched expression tells me she does not, in fact, think I look good. I would describe my outfit as cute. As soon as I arrived home from work, I changed into my Westinghouse jersey and a pair of black and red leggings boasting the Chicago logo. My mom flits around the kitchen, adjusting the dishcloth draped over the edge of the sink. Anyway, tonight's a bit of a rush. I have a client meeting at 8 that will probably take a few hours, depending. She's interrupted by another knock. Shit, it's still too early for the girls to be here. Oh, that's for me. My mother struts to the door. Did you invite your client here? I choke the words out, mortified by the possibility. She throws a look over her shoulder. Of course not, Char Char. I'll explain it all. Just give me a moment. She throws open the door, and a swarm of people flood my kitchen. With video cameras. And there's some guy wearing one of those latex face masks with only eye holes and a mouth hole, dressed in leather chaps, his entire ass on display. Thankfully, his penis isn't hanging out. Mom? There's that high pitch again. She turns and claps her hands excitedly. They're casting for a reality show this weekend. It's called Mama Dom. Isn't that cute? Anyway, I thought it was a great opportunity. This is my audition video. It's so much classier to film it in a house, you know? It'll only take half an hour. And this right here is one of the many reasons I have never introduced Darren to my mother. I pull her aside. Is that a good idea, Mom? Being on a reality show? I mean, you'll be putting your face out there for everyone to see. I'll be wearing a mask, so it'll be fine. Plus, I dyed my hair for the show. You worry too much. She pats my cheek. This coming from the woman who cut a hole in a barbed wire fence, taught me how to hotwire a car, and drove me across continental Middle America to escape a whole pile of crazy. Then she legally changed our names. Not the best names and not the best changes, but then my mom doesn't always think things through. Who willingly chooses the last name Orr? I have friends coming over soon, I tell her. Don't worry, Char Char, they'll be in and out within the hour. I sure as hell hope so. Explaining my sex life with Darren is one thing, but explaining my mother is another entirely. I make myself tea as the crew take over the kitchen and start moving furniture out of the way. The chair from my living room is relocated to where the table once was. A footstool is brought in while my mother opens her bag and sets out a vast array of sex toys, many of which I'm familiar with since she likes to send me every new prototype she gets her hands on, which is how I was able to amass such a collection. Nice place, Mask Guy says. He's doing that head nod thing people do when they're uncomfortable and don't know what else to say. He also hitches his thumbs in his chaps, probably wishing he had pockets. Thanks.
So that's your mom, huh?
He inclines his head in her direction. She's using eyelash glue to attach a mask to her face. All it covers is the area around her eyes, so it's not particularly great at concealing her identity. I'd like to point this detail out to her, but there are currently too many people here. Yep. I bring my mug to my lips and blow. Later, I'm drinking wine. Or shots. Right now, I'm trying to calm myself with chamomile.
Do you ever tag team?
I choke on a mouthful of hot tea and cough, trying to clear my airway. I set my mug on the counter as Mask Guy slaps me on the back, but when I keep coughing, he starts the Heimlich on me and several flashes go off. Stop! Please don't touch me! I yell at both the photographer and the Mask Guy as I smack at his hands. He releases me and drops to all fours.
I'm prepared to accept my punishment, Mistress Daughter.
I flail around. Mom, can you come deal with this? This is way more than any daughter should have to handle when their mom comes for a visit. My mom steps in and slaps Mask Guy on the ass a couple of times. She gives me a patient smile while she pats his head like he's a dog, not a person. I brought you fresh candies. They're in my bag. Why don't you have one and relax, sweetie? I also brought you presents, but we can open them together if you want to wait. I grab my mom's bag and take it to the living room where there is no camera crew. I find the bag of candies in one of the side pockets, which is the only place I check because going through my mom's overnight bag isn't for the faint of heart, and I'm sure I'll find a few things I'd rather not see. As promised, the camera crew is able to wrap things up within the hour. But of course, Mom has to chat them up so they're on their way out the door when Violet and Poppy arrive. Mask Guy pulls it over his head on his way out the door. His hair is wet from being encased in latex for the past hour and his face is red. He might be okay looking, but I'm too distracted by Laverne sitting on her front porch, witnessing the porn parade exit my house.
If you ever get into the biz and you need someone to practice on, I'd love to bottom for you.
Maskless Mask Guy says. I have a boyfriend.
Of course you do.
He slips his hand down the front of his assless chaps and withdraws a baggie. Inside are his business cards.
Here's my card, should that change.
Thanks. Violet and Poppy stand at the edge of my garden as the porn parade disperses. They both check out maskless mask guy's ass as he passes. It's a pretty nice ass, I'll give him that. I glance at the card. Apparently his name is Rodney Steele. Of course. Steel Rod. How clever. Violet and Poppy give each other a look before they rush up the walkway and I usher them into the house. You want to explain that? Vi asks as I close the door behind them. Hi, girls. You must be Shar-Shar's friends. I'm Wednesday, her mom. When we changed our identities, my mom wanted to make sure our names were easy to remember. Her real name is Wendy, so she decided on Wednesday, spelled incorrectly. W-H-E-N-S-D-A-Y. Although she says it was on purpose. My life was a lot weird. Clearly, it still is. Poppy flashes one of her sweet smiles and extends a hand. It's so nice to meet you. Mom, this is Poppy, and you remember Violet? Oh, yes, of course, and you're both flowers. How fun is that? My mom is still wearing her fetish gear. The last time Violet met my mom, she was wearing normal people clothes, so this is a bit of a shocker, I think. Are you planning to change now that the camera crew is gone, or... I let it hang, hoping she'll take the hint. I have to leave soon to meet with a client, so I'll change when I get back. What are you girls doing tonight? We're watching the hockey playoffs. The doorbell rings again, forcing me to leave my mother unsupervised with my friends. Sunny and Lily are standing on the front porch. They look like a couple of bag ladies with all the stuff they're carrying, including a sleeping Logan strapped into his car seat. He could be a professional napper. When he isn't bumbling around being super cute, he's sleeping on any available surface. Chairs, couches, laps, the floor, Lily's wiener dog's dog bed. Look, girls, I need to tell you something. Before I can finish the sentence, my mom makes her presence known. She appears behind me holding a box of wine, the kind with the spout. Hi, girls. Oh, this is so fun. Shar-Shar, you have so many friends. Lily, Sunny, this is my mom. I'm not sure if this is much better than when the guys saw me naked surrounded by crazy sex toys. Sunny's eyes go wide and her mouth forms an ooh. Lily nudges her and Sunny clamps her mouth shut. Her bag-laden arm shoots out toward my mom. It's so nice to meet you, Miss Hoare. Like Gertrude, she forgets that the H is silent. Lily chokes back a cough, but my mom doesn't so much as flinch. It's Wednesday, darling. Sunny's brow pulls down. I thought it was Friday. My mom throws her head back and cackles. She sounds like a crow being eaten alive. Aren't you adorable? My name is Wednesday. Like the Addams Family girl? Lily supplies. Almost, except it's spelled like, when are we going to go to the party, not wedness. Anyway, the Addams Family is my favorite movie in the entire world. Sunny looks appropriately confused by this explanation. My mom claps her hands and looks to me. We should have a movie night while I'm here and watch it together. Sure, Mom. Better than dominatrix training videos, I guess. I need to pull my mother aside and make sure she doesn't say anything to my friends about my childhood, because that's not something I'd like to explain. To anyone. Ever. I don't think she'll mention it, as we've spent the past decade pretending it never happened, but her behavior today is concerning, so I'm unsure what to expect. I wish I could hang out with you girls, but I have a client meeting and I still have to figure out how to get there. My mom waves her hand in the air like the life of a dominatrix is painfully trying. Maybe you'll all still be here when I get back. She taps her lip. Although this client is a bit difficult, so I might be several hours. My mom sashays across the kitchen and grabs her bag. I'll give you your presents now, Shar-Shar. That's okay, Mom, they can wait. She waves me off. It's so much more fun to open presents when you're with friends, though, isn't it? And I think your friends will get a kick out of this. We're all adults here. Sure are. Violet's expression is gleefully malevolent. Usually when Darren buys me things, they're professionally wrapped or they come in a pretty bag with a nice curly ribbon. Not gifts from my mom. They come in nondescript plastic bags. I reluctantly peek inside the bag. Oh, yeah, this is going to be stranger than usual. I should have gotten out the tequila in preparation. I reach inside and pull out the least offensive item. What is that? Sunny tips her head to the side. It's a vibrating cock ring. Watch. My mom plucks it from my hand and puts it in Sunny's palm before she turns it on. Sunny's face turns an even brighter shade of red. Oh, that would feel great, right? Sunny nods uncertainly. Go ahead, there's more. My mom motions for me to keep going. When I'm not fast enough, she grabs the bag from me and dumps it on the table. I sigh as I stare at the weirdness in front of me. Violet screams and hides behind me. What the fuck are those? She points from her place over my shoulder. You mean these or this? My mom holds up two separate items, both of which are equally freaky. Violet makes a gagging sound from behind me. Either, both, is that real? These are Benoit balls, and this is a spidergasm. They're prototypes for this year's Halloween dominatrix party in Vegas. Fun, aren't they? That's not quite the way I would describe them. The Benoit balls, weighted balls that hang out in your vag for pre-sex stimulation, look like actual eyeballs, the kind you find on those creepy dolls, and the spidergasm looks like a Black Widow spider. Violet shudders. So fun! Can we put those away now? Are you afraid of spiders? This might help you get over your fear. I'm fine, it's okay. Violet uses me as a shield. No, really, you should try it out. I can do it. Lily steps forward. We all look at her like maybe she's lost her mind, but she smiles and holds her hand palm up. Okay, so imagine this is your clitoris. My mom turns on her sexy dominatrix voice and runs one of her talon nails along the length of Lily's middle finger. Lily shivers but nods, eyes darting questioningly to me. I can't save her now. My mom picks up the Black Widow and makes it pretend crawl across Lily's palm and up her finger. Yes, it's creepy. And this little spider is about to fire off all 8,000 of those nerve endings. My mom wraps the little spider around the end of Lily's finger and taps the butt. Lily shouts her surprise and then her jaw clamps shut. Does it bite? Yes, and it vibrates. Research tests are showing that it takes the average woman 4 minutes to achieve an orgasm through the Black Widow spidergasm model. That's 1 minute faster than their previous model. My mom maintains her dominatrix sex sales voice through the entire spiel. Huh, that's incredible, right? This explains a lot, Violet whispers in my ear, still clutching my shoulder. I know, I mumble. Thankfully, my mom's phone alarm chimes. She pulls her pouty face. Duty calls. That's too bad. I would have loved to chill with you girls tonight. She grabs my arm. I know. Maybe you and all your girlfriends would like to come to the convention tomorrow. Convention? Lily asks. The spider is still attached to her finger. She keeps pushing on its butt, increasing and then decreasing the vibrations. Sexapalooza! It's a great convention. I can get you all free tickets since I'm a presenter. She puffs out her chest, clearly proud of this accomplishment. Will there be more stuff like this? Lily holds up her spider finger. Oh, yes. If it has to do with sex, it's there. My mom roots around in her purse and pulls out a handful of tickets. Shar-Shar will fill you in. I must be on my way. She kisses me on the cheek. I'll be back later. You girls have fun. And with that, she's out the door. Sunny raises her hand as soon as she's gone. What does your mom do for a living? Usually I say she's in the entertainment business, which is kind of true. She's a dominatrix. So what does she do exactly? Sunny wraps her hair around her finger. Basically, she bosses men around until they have an orgasm. That's not totally accurate, but for the sake of simplicity, it works. Oh. I'm going to have a glass of wine. Anyone else feel like a glass of wine? Or some shots? We could do shots. Poppy helps with the wine and Lily pours sparkling juice into champagne flutes so Sunny and Vi don't feel left out. I do 2 shots of Patron and Lily joins me, because shots. Once we all have drinks, we head for the living room. Lily still has the Black Widow spider attached to her finger, so Violet sits as far away from her as she possibly can. The game has already started, the score still 0 on both sides. Lily's only half paying attention, still fascinated with the clit-biting spider. We're going to the convention tomorrow, right? Randy's been talking about lingerie shopping and ball gags, so you'll be able to get your very own ball gag there for sure. And lingerie. I mean it to be snarky, but based on their expressions, I don't think anyone takes it that way. Violet raises a brow. I can't wait to see your mom in action. She makes Sky look like a dream. I think your mom is interesting, Sunny offers. Will they have these at the sex show? Lily wiggles her spider finger in the air. Probably, but you can have that one if you want it. Really? Her eyes light up. I know Lily and Randy get it on like every 5 minutes or whatever, but I didn't realize they were into the freak-a-leak business. Or it's possible Lily is just now discovering her inner freak. It'd be nice to have a friend who's freakier than me. Violet believes vajazzling makes her adventurous. Sure. I gulp my wine. But I should warn you, it's probably been used. Lily's elation deflates like a balloon. Seriously? Yeah, like once or something? Especially if it's a prototype. I explain. Prototype? Yeah, sometimes my mom tests out products before they hit the market. So your mom might have used this? Lily pulls it off her finger and drops it on the coffee table. It's possible? I mean, it could have come out of the package, but I have no way of knowing unless you want me to ask her. That's okay. If they have them at the sex show, I'll buy one there. I don't think Miller would like that very much, Sunny says thoughtfully. He's not a fan of spiders. Understandable, really. Violet smiles behind her glass. Ever since he had his scrotum drained after that spider bite, he makes me get rid of all the 8-legged creatures. I don't kill them, though. I always take them outside when he's not looking. Whoa, Miller had his... Poppy motions to her groin area. Drained? Oh, my God. I forgot that was pre-Poppy days. So when Miller and I were still trying to figure things out, he went up to a Canadian hockey camp with Randy, and they volunteered to train with the kids. It's so sweet and special, really. But Miller was bitten by a spider, and he had an allergic reaction. His balls were the size of my boobs. Violet motions to her girls. Well, not quite that big, but there's a picture somewhere out there. They were very swollen, so he had to have them drained. Sunny explains. That's just awful. It was, poor baby. Anyway, his balls are fine now, obviously. Sunny pats her belly. We half pay attention to the game while the girls exchange stories about the beginnings of their relationships, which is a lot different than the way Darren and I started. Chicago wins the first game. We all pick up our phones and send congratulatory messages that won't be seen for a while yet. Half an hour later, phones chime around us with replies. Sunny excuses herself to take a call from Miller. Lily gets a message from Randy asking if she's alone. Violet and Poppy both field short calls, and I sit with my phone in my hand waiting for something. Anything. Eventually, I get a message. It's simple. Short. A thank you. I remind myself that Darren doesn't engage in extensive texting and any response is a good one. Most of the time, it's enough. But in this moment, it makes me feel a little too different. Like I don't quite fit, and maybe never will. I used to be fine with that. Tonight, it makes my heart ache. Chapter 8. Meet the Rents. Charlene. The following afternoon, Lily picks me and Violet up at my place since she stayed the night. I follow Violet outside and hit the lock button on the door. Darren didn't feel my previous lock set was sufficient, so he had a keypad installed with a code and an alarm system. It's another way I know he cares and wants to keep me safe. Although my neighborhood is pretty quiet. It's mostly older couples and a few young families. I start down the front walk and scream at the sight of a mini Winnebago. The kind one pulls behind a car, parked in my driveway. Holy fuck! I rush back to the door and punch the keypad, but I'm too frantic to get it right, so it squawks at me in protest.
Oh, shit,
Violet mutters. I should have warned you, but I figured you already knew it was here. I shield my eyes. Where did that come from? Why is it here? Who's in it?
I think it's your mom's.
I stop freaking out.
What?
It was here when I came over yesterday, and the SUV it was hooked up to is gone, so it's just a guess, but I'm thinking it's a pretty solid one. Are you going to be okay?
What?
It feels like I can't breathe properly. Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Should we go?
Yeah, sure. I take two shuffly, unsteady steps down the walkway when the alarm goes off in the house.
Shit!
Hold on. By the time I get the door unlocked, the alarm company is already calling. I explain that I accidentally hit the wrong code, give them all the personal details they require to ensure someone hasn't broken into my house and taken me hostage, and lock up a second time. I keep my eyes averted as I speed walk to Lily's truck. Well, technically it's Randy's truck, but she always drives it when he's out of town, and throw myself into the back seat.
I didn't know you were a camper, Sunny says from the front seat.
I actually hate camping.
What's with the camping trailer then?
Lily asks.
It's her mom's,
Violet supplies when all I do is sit there, dry-mouthed and anxious.
Oh, did you have a bad experience? When Lily and I went tree planting, it was awful. Even Sunny's frown is cute.
I think it might have been the people we went with, Lily replies.
But it can be fun, if you're with the right people.
I don't say anything because my experience with RVing is probably not like most people's. Less than 2 minutes after getting into the truck, my phone rings. I'm surprised to see it's Darren. We don't have a lot of phone conversations when he's away. I bring the phone to my ear.
Charlene, is everything okay? Are you all right?
His concern is even more surprising than the out-of-the-blue phone call. I'm fine. Why?
Oh, okay.
He exhales a long breath.
Okay, that's good. I received a message from the alarm company, which was concerning. I wanted to make sure nothing happened and that you were safe.
I hadn't realized Darren would be contacted if my house alarm went off. I'm fine. I put in the wrong code one too many times and it went off. Sorry if I worried you.
As long as you're safe, that's all that matters. It sounds like you're in a car. Are you driving?
I'm with the girls and I'm not driving.
Ah, that's good. Okay. Well, I won't keep you then. Maybe, we could talk later. Or I'll text if that isn't convenient for you.
My stomach flips. Darren doesn't usually suggest phone calls unless we're making a plan to see each other and texting will take too long.
I'd love to talk. I can message when I'm home and see if you're around.
That would be perfect. Have a fun day with your friends.
I finger my pearls, smiling at how formal and awkward he can be when he's unsure how to approach a subject. It's endearing.
Okay, I will.
But not as much fun as you'd have with me.
I laugh. Of course not. I end the call with a smile.
Everything okay?
Violet asks.
Oh, yeah, Darren got the message from the alarm company and wanted to make sure I'm okay.
He gets alerts when your house alarm goes off? Lily asks.
He's the one who had it installed, so yeah, I guess he wanted to make sure I'm safe.
That's sweet, isn't it? Sunny smiles. That he wants to make sure you're taken care of when he can't be with you.
Yeah.
I roll the pearls over my lips. It is. It takes half an hour to get to the convention center and another 20 minutes to find parking. Violet is absolutely shocked when Lily manages to back into a spot without hitting anything. Most of the time when we go out as a group, we don't allow Violet to drive because she's so bad at it. She can manage to drive in a straight line, but parking, backing out, and turning all seem to be a challenge for her. We hand our tickets over and head inside. I've been to plenty of sex shops to buy lingerie and sometimes toys and fun stuff, but in the past I've tried to avoid these kinds of sex conventions because of my mom's job, so it's new even for me. Lily meanders from display to display, checking everything out. Poppy's face is an interesting shade of red that matches her name, and Sunny, well, I think this whole experience is going to scar my poor friend for life. At least I tried to shield her from it, which is more than I can say for the rest of them. Violet is, Violet. She stops at a table with strap-ons and picks one up. Can I test this out? She asks the guy manning the booth. He looks like he probably watches a lot of internet porn and doesn't often see the light of day.
Test it out how?
He asks. Like, can I try it on? See if it fits?